you might be marking number 922, which will be our song of invitation in a few moments, 922. Welcome, and a very special welcome to our many visitors this morning. We are blessed and honored by your presence with us. The last verse of the longest chapter among all the epistles is 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's not the whole verse, though. In fact, at that, it seems somewhat disconnected from the 57 verses preceding. The 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians is known as the great resurrection chapter of the New Testament. And it seems at the end, this odd placement of this encouragement for all of us to be up and about Christian work and living and activity, to be resolute in our faith, to be completely alive and alert and energetic in our service, in fact, always abounding in the work of the Lord. What does that have to do with the great resurrection chapter? But you might notice the verse starts with a word we omitted just a moment ago as we referenced it. It's the word therefore, which means everything the apostle is about to say in this last verse is set up by everything that's come before it. And in a sense, everything that's come before it has been leading up to this as the reason why he's brought this up in the first place. The fact that a part of the gospel, a major part of the gospel, is the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead according to the scriptures, the prophecies. And that based upon Christ and his being raised from the dead, we have the hope, the assurance of being raised ourselves from the dead one day. And all of this gives us reason then to believe that the hope we have is real and the work we do is not without some payment, some reward, some reason behind it. Paul begins the chapter by saying, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you have received and which you believe, by which also you're saved, if you hold fast or keep in memory that which I preached unto you. For I delivered unto you first of all," or of first importance, "that which was delivered to me, that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures." There's the gospel. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. And this fundamental gospel he's speaking of has at its very core those things which are essential to our faith. And that's why he says, "I delivered first of all, of first importance, of what I've been given to you." And it's something he keeps repeating. "I gave it to you, I preached it to you, I'm giving it to you again." And why? Because it's essential. It's of first importance. And why? Not just that he died for us, that's how our sins by his blood are washed clean. And not just that he was buried to prove the fact that he actually died for sins, the just for the unjust, but that he rose from the dead the third day victorious over death, just as the prophets had said, as he himself had promised. And this resurrection serves as the very pillar of the New Testament teaching of the church. He's declared to be the Son of God with power according to the resurrection from the dead, in the words of Romans chapter 1 and verse 5. But let me interject a question here. Why does this matter to you or to me? Whether or not Jesus was raised from the dead. And interestingly enough, the chapter is not so much about his resurrection, but resurrection itself. If the dead be not raised, then Christ was not raised. The underlying idea here is not his resurrection, but resurrection in general. And that resurrection is proven by his and then depended on by us in our lives. But again, what does it matter if Christ was raised or not? Well, Paul answers that question. If Christ is not raised, and this is a crude paraphrase, I realize, everything falls like a house of cards. Every bit and parcel of our faith in Christ, our belief in him, our hope of heaven, everything crumbles if Christ was not raised, because the Bible says he was, because the prophet said he would be, because Jesus promised he would be raised. If Christ was not raised from the dead, Paul says our preaching is vain. Your faith is vain, Paul says. You're yet in your sins if Christ has not been raised. But his larger point is this. If Christ isn't raised, you won't be either. But because he was, you will be. Now that's why it matters. Yes, it's an interesting historical fact that Jesus rose from the dead, that the tomb was empty. And yes, it proves the tremendous power of God who created the universe out of nothing by the sheer mere force of voice. But this power of God is not the sum total reason of why he was raised. No, his resurrection is much more personal with me and with you, because he was raised as the first fruits of those risen. In his resurrection, speaks of ours one day. And if Christ is not raised, we won't be. But if he was, oh yes, we will. Which is the point of the chapter and the point of the end of the chapter. It goes to a larger question that anybody would have to have. Why put out the effort to be a Christian when it's so much easier not to? Why be a good person as a follower of Christ when it's so much easier just to live like the world? Live like your neighbors. Live like the ungodly and enjoy life and be selfish. Why not? What's the reason for living the Christian life? And I realize there are factors of blessings in this life for living the right way. The Bible even talks about godliness being something that is beneficial both for this life and the life which is to come. But when all is said and done and the veneer of the Christian life is stripped away to its bare essentials, Paul sums it up in the 19th verse of this same chapter by saying this: if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most to be pitied. Now, Paul is the one who said in 1 Timothy 4 that where godliness is profitable for this life and the life to come, as opposed to bodily exercise, which is just for now. Paul had said that there's a benefit here, but here Paul is saying in the larger sense, if this is all we have, it's not reason enough to live the Christian life, and especially go through the Christian sufferings that people like Paul went through. So why live the Christian life? Why be steadfast, immovable? Why always abound in the work of the Lord? If there is no life past this one, nothing really makes any sense. Now, you can be somewhere else this morning, I know, listening to someone else this morning, I know, in very disparate places around the globe this morning, and the voices will tell you, If you have enough faith in God, he'll take care of you. And if you haven't got enough money, he'll give you the money you need. If you haven't got the right house, it's because you haven't got enough faith. Have the right faith, you'll have the house you want. Have the right faith, you'll have the car you want. And if you don't have these material things, these preachers seem to say, like I have, look at my house, look at my car, look at my jets sometimes, my second, third, and fourth homes. If you haven't got that, it's because you haven't got the faith that I have. If you had the faith that I have, you'd have what I have. And so increase your faith and show that faith by giving me more money to buy more houses and more cars and more jets and more homes. But that's not what the Bible teaches. In fact, without the help of the scriptures, you know this before I tell you, a lot of life just isn't fair. There are bad things that happen to good people. People with faith, a deep, consecrated, sincere faith. We face difficulties day by day by day. And we live in the most prosperous nation on the face of the earth at the most prosperous time in human history. And here at the apex of the world, we still have to say, this life is tough. And it is. And you add to that the difficulties of living the Christian life. And you'll have to admit, it's harder to be good than not. Ever had somebody say ugly things to you and you want to reply in kind? You want to give them perhaps a bloody nose. You want to key their car. But you remind yourself, no, I'm a Christian. I'm trying to live like Jesus. It's harder to be good than just to do what you want to do and go the way of the rest of the world and repay in kind. And that's just one example. If anybody tells you being a Christian in a non-Christian world, living for God in an ungodly world is easy, just keep in mind they're selling something, because it's not. If it were easy, everybody would be doing it. It's not easy. And so the question remains, then why go to the bother? Why go to the bother? And you might say, well, because that's the only place to have sins washed away. Question. If there's no life past this, then what does it matter? If there's no life after you die, what does it matter whether your sins are washed away or not? What real difference does it make? If this life is all we have, what makes any sense in terms of the inequities, the injustices, the difficulties, the problems, the illness? What makes any sense? But then you put back into the equation the fact of our Lord's resurrection and the promise that his resurrection proves and promises ours, which speaks to the larger idea of there being life past this one and a life of reward for God's people. And then, and only then, everything begins to make sense. There's a time when all wrongs are righted. There's a time when injustice goes away and it's dealt with severely. There's a time when pain is no more, where death is no more, where sorrow is no more, where there are no tears or crying. And why? Because it's the life past this one. Not here, but past here. Not in the here and now, but in the hereafter. And that's what we as Christians live for. We say, as Paul in Philippians 3 and 20, our citizenship is in heaven. We say, as Paul in Colossians 1, verse 5, we have hope laid up for us in heaven. We say again with Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, to be at home in the body is to be absent from the Lord, but to be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord, which in Philippians 1 he says is far better. All of this speaks to a life past this one. Christians aren't suicidal. We enjoy this life as best we can and in the best way possible. And we realize we're stewards here and are stewards of our own lives, taking care of them and being here as long as we can to serve as best we can the Lord's cause. But we also realize the bare facts of the case. The best lies beyond here. And all that Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 about the gospel being the death, burial, and yes, the resurrection of Jesus, and the fact that that resurrection that Jesus had that is proven historically by witnesses, that also promises that we'll be raised one day. And that life beyond this one gives us hope, a blessed assurance that yes, our decision to be steadfast and immovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord, it'll pay off. Oftentimes now, in the here and now, but if not, for sure, in the hereafter. Isn't it nice to be appreciated? You do a good thing, and you do a good work, and you're a good person, and people pat you on the back and say, oh, what a good job you did. That's a wonderful thing you did. It's nice to be appreciated. How many times do we kind of sulk to ourselves saying nobody cares? Here I went out of my way to do something special, and I thought it was special. I thought it was hard work to do, and it was the work of the Lord, and nobody even noticed what I did. Why even bother? I think I'll just sit here and quit. No, it's good to be appreciated here, but it doesn't always happen. But in the hereafter, oh, listen to Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He's soon to leave this life as a martyr. We believe, if history tells us correctly, that he was beheaded by order of Nero Caesar. He says, I'm already being offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me, and not to me only, but to all them also which love his appearing. Now, Paul says, I've got something waiting for me better than I'll ever have here. And my friend, in Christ, I promise you, you've got something better waiting for you over there than you'll ever enjoy here. Yes, the Christian life is the best life you can live right now. But that's nothing to compare with what lies beyond the grave. And that's the hope we have because of resurrection, which is proven by and vouchsafed by what Christ did in his own resurrection. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. If you're here this morning and outside of Christ, don't leave in that condition. Because the hope we've spoken of is for those in Christ. Have you obeyed the gospel? Or perhaps as a child of God, you've wandered away. What better time than now to come back and make things right? If you need to come, come now. As together we stand and sing.